we're not even tuning in to how we feel. I mean, that's what's so crazy.
Yeah.
And when we do, and we become in really this democracy with our body in this relationship, and we learn to listen to it, that is so empowering.
Welcome to Maximizing Fitness, Fat Loss, and Running Through Perimenopause, the podcast for the everyday recreational female runner, active woman, or fitness lover who's ready to take charge of her health, hormones, and energy. If dying to maximize your ability to feel, look, or run your best at any age without overcomplicating it, welcome to the right place. I'm your host, Louise Valentine, a multi-award-winning exercise physiologist, holistic health practitioner, performance scientist, nutrition, running, and strength coach. I'm thrilled to have you join us. Each week, I'll keep it simple, straightforward, and science-based as we deep dive into how you can work with your female physiology to ditch hormone havoc, maximize fueling, fitness, fat loss, and injury prevention to live a vibrant, healthy, and high-performance life. To the active, fierce female listening, yes, you can and you deserve to have it all. I'm putting directly into your capable hands the game-changing strategies that I wish I would have had in my own journey. So whenever your heart desires, yes, you can lace up your shoes, go for an energized run, and look fit as hell. Ready to join our revolution of unlocking your best with science and simplicity? Hell yes, you are. Let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back to another episode. We are so thrilled to have you here today. I know this is a hot topic. So many past clients and so many friends, even family members, ask all about carbohydrates. So today we're going to talk about all about carbs, the good, the bad, the ugly misinformation that's holding you back. So today, ladies, I am thrilled to introduce you to our newest coach here at Breaking Through Wellness. Her name is Ariel. She is a registered dietitian, over 20 years of experience, a master's, training in functional medicine, integrative health, a crazy certification and degree junkie like myself, who actually did go through our program, is now training here with me, and just is going to bring a wealth of knowledge to the podcast, to our program. So Ariel, welcome.
Thank you so much, Louise. I am so excited to be on here today.
I was telling Ariel before we started recording, like I picture the ground like shaking, and like there is this giant like glowing heart emerging, like we are here to disrupt, to empower you ladies, pour so much love into you, because as we always talk about, like Amy, Ariel, and I have all been there. We've done that. We effed up. And now we're here to share not only the science, but my goodness, like how do we apply it? Where are we getting it wrong? And the common mistakes we see, because oh my gosh, have we made them?
Yes, we have.
Yeah. So Ariel, I know that when you came into the program, you were so knowledgeable yourself, obviously. And even when we first met, you know, you were like very regimented in different things that you were doing. You had your knowledge, you were applying it, but you did feel a little stuck. And after working together, you're one of like our shining success stories of feeling amazing, getting amazing results, and balancing your hormones as much as, you know, hormone balance exists, but, you know, just sharing a little bit about your results and where you're feeling stuck, and more importantly, how you're feeling now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm actually really excited to dive into this, because I think it goes to show how you can have a lot of knowledge and education, but there are some really simple mistakes we can make, because there just isn't enough practitioners out there like you with this information that really helps women step into their best self in regards to their performance, energy, et cetera. So let me rewind a little bit. A couple of years ago, I got diagnosed with premature ovarian failure, which really came out of a very high stress experience. I had a severe gut infection, almost passed away from bacterial sepsis, was hospitalized for 7 days. Took me about a year to restore my gut, but that completely dysregulated my endocrine system. And I went to the OB and he was like, oh, you have premature ovarian failure. You're never going to get a period again. We're going to put you on birth control pills because your hormones are still within kind of a normal place. So you're just going to kind of have to suffer through the consequences of this and the symptoms. And this is what we can give you. And if you have trouble sleeping, here's a sleeping pill. Well, being that I'm really passionate about integrative and functional nutrition, and I truly believe the body has the capacity to heal itself, and I've seen it over and over with clients, I really wasn't accepting that. So I went through a process of really trying to restore my hormones, bring my body back into balance. And that really did involve cutting back on training, being more gentle with myself, but I got the running bug back again. And I still didn't have regular cycles. They were still erratic, but this is like, well, this is normal, I guess, because of what I've been diagnosed with. I hear Louise online talking in a podcast, and I'm so inspired by her. And I'm like, oh, she's a running coach. I'm going to hire her to write me a half marathon training program. So I reach out to her, and it was like love at first sight. And
I know. It's like the ladies who know, they just know that, like, when I hear you guys talk, I think you're talking directly to me. Like,
exactly. Exactly. And she writes me my training program, and then kind of the rest is history. No, I'm just kidding. So then I start working with her and applying her strategic nutrition training strategies really designed for women over 35 to optimize our health, hormones, sleep, body composition. And I really wasn't expecting what happened. I had really gotten into being intuitive with my body. I was trying to only out of hunger and satiety. But the thing is when you really start to ramp up your training, your body isn't always going to be very indicative of how much nutrition you need. On top of the fact that my hormones were off, this really dysregulates my appetite system. And so she really coached me into how to properly fuel strategically around my training. And it was absolutely incredible. I will say the first couple weeks was scary. I think for any women, we can all agree that when somebody's telling you to eat a lot more than you're used to, and, you know, even if you're not hungry, you need to fuel. We've been so brainwashed in the opposite direction that it can be hard to embrace that. But when we do, and you see the difference in your energy and your performance and your sleep, and once you know, Louise, what was it? Like 4 or 5 weeks into the program, and my period's coming like total normal clockwork. So it was just absolutely an incredible experience. And for me, it was just, that was a shoo-in. That was when I knew this was the direction that I needed to go because of my own struggles, my experiences, and really wanting to get out there and help women who are struggling like I've struggled, like Louise has struggled, because there really isn't a lot out there to serve us. The type A go-getter, you're doing everything you can. You're just climbing the wrong mountain and no one's there to help you up the right way. And I just feel so grateful and so blessed to have connected with Louise. And I am so excited to continue to share about my experience and help other women as well through this process.
Yeah. And a huge part of it was relevant to carbohydrates we're going to talk about today. But I think that's the thing. Like, we are all driven women. We are trying to soak up knowledge. We, like I said, some of us get overwhelmed, so we don't apply any of it. And all others of us are trying to apply all of it. We're trying so hard. We just don't, like, I just keep saying it over and over again, but women were just never taught how to work with their female body in the first place. So, like, taking that step back, and let's not just go right into the research and what it says. Let's take a step back to get to know our body, understand, like, work with someone who can help us to apply the good science, but honestly get to know how it fits our body, because there is no box that everyone fits into. And, you know, it could be overtraining, it could be underfueling, it could be overeating, it could be a disordered eating past. It could be, wow, I was underfueling. I had no freaking idea. Like, that was a lot of my story. Like, here I was, I thought I was eating enough. I thought I was doing the right things. I had underlying health conditions, of course. But then when no one's applying the hormonal piece to it, we are our hormones as females. And so it just becomes this incredibly complex thing. But after years of experience, like, you know, you and I having probably 50 years total of experience, yeah, we can simplify it. And it's so darn time. So here we are, join our science-based revolution as we talk through all about carbohydrates today. Now, a couple things we wanted to start with is just some common mistakes we see. And the first one I think is pretty obvious to a lot of the women who are probably listening to this podcast as active individuals. You know that like something like keto or low carb is not the answer. But let's talk a little bit about why, because I think it's very human in perimenopause and when our hormones are starting to change to really start to question our relationship with carbs. And the thing is that it is, I'll share from like the hormonal side, it's counterproductive and can damage our hormones to not include a variety of nutrient and fiber dense carbs. It's just the timing and the type that changes. So yeah, carbohydrates time and time again are shown as that primary energetic source of fuel. I know every time I go to a scientific conference, I'm going to another one here at the end of February, and we have to have the same darn presentation by a new scientist every time, just reminding us as scientists, low carb is not shown to be superior in performance gains to just properly fueling your body with a healthy dose of carbs, which I know Ariel will get into, is individual to everyone. But yeah, and I know Ariel, you have a lot of experience with the gut health side of things and why low carb or keto isn't the answer there. So any insights there you can share with us?
Oh yeah, I would love to. So I think one of the problems is how carbs have all kind of been put in one basket. And I know you and I agree on this, Louise, that there really is only a very small place in our diet for refined or processed carbohydrates. They should not be taking up a large proportion. And a lot of the research and ill health effects of carbohydrates on the body all come from those foods. You're not going to find a study that shows beans cause diabetes. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's just not out there. And so, and the other problem is that, I mean, carbs are, as I know everybody's heard this a million times, they are our preferred energy source. If we do not, and one of the things I've been hearing in the space that really drives me crazy is this whole idea that, well, proteins are essential and fats are essential, but you don't need carbs because the body can create them. Well, let's offer a different perspective there, because if your body creates them when they aren't provided, if they aren't needed, why would the body go to such an extent to create them? And then we're also not looking at the hormonal and physiological adaptations that need to take place in order for the body to go into those pathways to create the carbohydrate that you are not providing. The other big missing piece here is, like you alluded to, the microbiome. So one of the reasons we have dysfunction in glucose metabolism, high blood sugars, erratic blood sugars, poor recovery, is because we have poor gut health. And the most important food source for our gut are something called MAC carbs, or microbial accessible carbohydrates. These are all of your whole food carbohydrates. So they are your unrefined complex carbs, your resistant starches, your prebiotic fibers, et cetera. And everybody's on this bandwagon now of like supplementing with probiotics when if we actually provide the gut with the fermentable carbs, the resistant starches, the complex fibers, and the diversity, our body produces pre and postbiotics. And then we are actually feeding those bacteria, and the colonocytes, those are the cells in our colon, they actually feed on those carbohydrates. So when we don't provide them, we see numerous issues and a whole system breakdown. And so it's really sad that what's actually created a lot of the gut issues and a lot of the hormonal issues is a lack of these quality carbs. And yet these are the things that women are afraid to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so interesting too. Like even in the past when I like, for example, like there's one of my favorite books right here, Dr. Mark Bubb's Peak. It talks all about the latest sports science. And I was like, oh, high and low training. Like, let's try this, Louise. Like, I love sports science. Let's try training low carb most of the time. And then using carbs as a stimulus, like around race day. What a great application. Not thinking about how the female body works. When we take that step back, our hormones need carbs. Absolutely. And like Ariel just shared, our microbiome, which does what? Helps support our hormones. Like good health and performance starts in the gut. So like, I know we have a whole masterclass on this coming up, or by the time this podcast comes out, it'll probably be available on the website. But, you know, talking through, if without our gut health, we're not going to digest, absorb, and use food. So to deprive that microbiome of what it needs to succeed, let's take a step back and think about that. Like, yeah, you might see a small gain in performance by trying, like, training high and low, but we're missing a whole piece of our health as females, first and foremost. So long term, we are going down that slippery slope of perimenopause and menopause are hell. We have thyroid issues. We can't sleep at night because serotonin, the precursor to melatonin, is made in the gut. So you have sleep problems. Let's look at a lot of different things, obviously, but microbiome and gut health being one of them. So even I know so many clients who come into the program, they're like, oh my gosh, my sleep has improved so much. And it's just like switching out these carbohydrate types for those that are more supportive of your gut and your hormones, and thus your metabolism, your fat loss, your performance. It's like incredible what small, simple steps can do to support that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the research also shows that when we have low glycogen storage or a lack of glycogen availability, that suppresses immune function. It suppresses bone mineralization. So we have to think about these things as women, because osteoporosis, low bone mineral density, osteopenia, these are real serious health conditions that impact us as we get older. And we can't just keep pulling from the body. We have to start building the body and thinking about how we're eating is affecting our long-term health and metabolism.
Yeah, I think back actually too, that's a perfect example of me having osteoporosis. Like I always share, there's so many reasons why: lack of estrogen for my youth, poor gut health, but part of it was my own fault. Like I'm very comfortable saying that out loud because I think more women need to hear it. And when women come into the program with low bone density or osteopenia or all of this underfueling and they're more injury prone, or I had one client that just, her leg just broke. Like, let's please get a DEXA scan. I don't care how young you are. If you get kicked in the leg and it broke, like, let's please get that DEXA. Mm-hmm. Like, can I advocate for you? Like, you know, like, but it's this very empowering experience where we realize, like, even myself, I was going to say, I hired a bodybuilding coach when I wanted to see body comp changes. And part of it was, okay, we're going to have a high fat week. Okay, now we're going to do a moderate carb week. Okay, now we're going to pull all carbs so that your muscles pop. And while I looked fit as hell 1 year postpartum after my daughter, it was not healthy. It contributed to the cluster F of my health that I'm in now. So this is why I think sharing this knowledge and these real life experiences and candidly saying, like, I effed up and I am a leading sports scientist, like, that is a tough pill to swallow, but it's also just the world we live in and these strategies that we think are the solutions, and they're devastating to our health. And depending mm-hmm. on our individual stress levels or individual physiology or genetic predispositions, like myself, like, this can happen so much sooner. Age 33 was when I was diagnosed with osteoporosis. Like, that is insanely young. I wish that upon no one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to touch on something you said too, is what we have to really, I think we need to bring to light is, you know, a lot of the images women are using for physiques they want to achieve, like these bodybuilding images or images of fitness, you know, influencers, whatever, is, I mean, that's a snapshot. That's a moment in time. They really dieted hard for a week or two. They got to this level and then they go back to normal eating, hopefully. But that's not like, people are not walking around like that. And, but at the same time though, Louise, and I also want to emphasize that you can look amazing and look lean and be strong and have a rockin' body composition, but you are not going to achieve that by consistently depriving your body of the very fuel and energy that it needs to thrive. And what I did see with myself too, because, you know, I did the same thing, Louise. I went to one of these low carb conferences and I was brainwashed by all these MDs who are on the low carb bandwagon. Here I go questioning all of my understanding of nutrition because I'm like, well, they're doctors. Oh boy, did that theory go out the window once I understood where. Anyways, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole, but the bottom line is I experimented, and I remember the first couple of weeks I dropped carbs and I had never restricted carbs. And I was like, oh my God, this is crazy how lean I am. And I was like, oh no, that's like 6 pounds of water loss, Ariel. It's not like, and then my sleep almost immediately started to get disrupted. But I think the problem is what we see down the road is you may get these really fast physique results, but it is a lot of it is an illusion. You're manipulating the variables of the body, which are much more than just your body fat. You have body water, you have all these other things impacting your how you look visually. But then the sad part is, the longer you stay in that state, the slower your metabolism becomes, the more insulin resistant you become, and everything starts to kind of go downhill. Now, some women are more resilient than others and can get away with this for longer. But what I have seen is they all eventually crash and burn on some level, because just within 5 days of low carbohydrate availability, your thyroid starts to tank. And that is the engine of your metabolism.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting, like you can see that in labs a lot of times, but we're not pulling thyroid levels every couple of months. And me, as someone who was hypothyroid as a result of some of these poor, I mean, genetic predispositions, but really poor decisions too. And I guess when I say poor decisions, it wasn't like, you know, disordered eating. It was like, I'm a scientist and I'm going to take this cutting edge research and apply it, which I think is a lot of the women we talk to, a lot of the women we coach, like you are freaking intelligent as hell. And you're trying to listen to a science-based practitioner, someone who did a cool study, or like you can read like a sports summary in like that book, or, hey, here's a running coach who's really good. And she's, you know, training fat adapted, like, ooh, maybe I should give this a try. But when we take a step back, like, thank God I was a physiologist to like question, like, why is my body so messed up? Like, why do I have all these symptoms? And I don't want to take medication for the rest of my life. Like, this is the byproduct of experimenting with all these things. This is the road I'm ended up on, or the path I'm headed down. How do I stop it? So I think that's where I just had to like take that step back. And it's like, how does the female body work in the first place? Which is like the fundamental question we continuously ask at Breaking Through Wellness and supporting the women that we coach and, you know, our podcast listeners, and just all of this great advice is take it with a grain of salt. Cause are they talking to women whose hormones are declining age 35 and beyond? Everything changes. Like Ariel said, even, you know, hunger cues. In her experience, like that completely changed. We can feel different symptoms. Like some women will feel really ravenous all the time and all super hungry. And that's a lot of times a byproduct of blood sugar dysregulation. So not knowing what those correct types of carbs are to eat. And others are maybe eating too many processed foods as well, or not having enough like protein to carbs in a single meal type thing. So we help you keep that simple with rules of thumb. A lot of women are like, I know how to balance my blood sugar. Or I read a book on that. But do you really feel symptom free? Like either you're not hungry or you're hungry all the time and you're still not seeing results. I think that's what it comes down to. Like if you're not seeing the fat loss, if you're not running well, or you feel like crap while you're running, or you feel like crap in the gym, or you have brain fog, you can't sleep, you're waking up at night hungry. We really have to look at carbohydrates. And it's not your fault. Like, it's just that there's not many practitioners that are even aware, I think, of this, because they get so lost in the research. I know, Ariel, you and I have talked about that, like the dogmatic, we've got a PhD and we're so kind of stuck in our own scientific world that we can't see like the humans in front of us.
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. You know, I wanted to get a PhD and my dad said, no, you don't want to pile it higher and deeper. Ha ha. No. I actually kind of wish I had listened to him, but no, anyways. And I can see what he's saying, but I think that's what makes us so unique in this field is that we aren't going to give you a cookie cutter. This is the amount of carb you need. This is how, you know, because it's there's principles and there's methods and there's so much bio-individuality. And I think what makes us so just so special in our application is that we truly do design it per the client's biofeedback, not or the book that we read, and now I'm going to apply this to you. And if it's not working, well, there's something wrong with you, because that's how a lot of this is done. And it's really infuriating, because there may be women out there who do great with a higher fat diet, and we're not going to tell them that that's not right for them. It doesn't mean they're zero carb, but they just may need a little more fat and a little less carb based on their, again, their biofeedback, their energy, sleep, etc. There's women like me, I actually got a genetic test done for the heck of it to see what my genetics said. And I have zero genes for insulin resistance. I have extremely high glucose tolerance. And so even though when I started working with Louise, I was not eating a quote low carb diet, I was not eating enough carbs for my metabolism, because my body is very carbohydrate sensitive. And so in the sense of it being a positive thing, not sensitive in the fact of it being a negative thing. And so, and that's where, you know, the beauty of us individualizing and really working with the woman in front of us to help her define and refine what's truly going to work for her body is, it's just not very common in this whole field of sports nutrition.
Yeah. But I also think what's really important about what you just said is we listened to, we weren't looking at data. We weren't doing calculations of grams of calories. I was literally, because what we do is we ask those that we coach to track 2 days of food and tell us line by line, like, what did you eat, approximate amounts? Where did you feel the symptom? Where did you get that headache during the day? What time of day did you bloat? Because I can point back and we can say why. It was, you know, Errol saying like, I was hungry before bed, or why am I waking up ravenous? Or I have other clients that are like, I'm craving chocolate. Like, do you know that's not your fault? Like, that isn't just some like, oh, I'm just a chocolate craver. Like, your body's talking to you. When you listen to the symptoms of the individual person, it is incredible what small changes can do, so that you feel your best within weeks. Like, I see this every darn day. Like, I'm very comfortable saying it out loud now, because I know there's so many women in the program that just invalidate. They're like, well, I came to this program to stop bloating and to not feel like shit like when I was running, and I'm 3 weeks in and now everything's cool. But now you tell me that I can lose weight and I can do all these other things and I can't have it all. So no, I want it all. Like, that was literally, that was literally a conversation with a client like earlier this week. She's like, well, Louise, it's time to just do it all. I'm like, well, here we go. But yes, it's so true. And again, it's like, it blows people's minds that we're not, and I knew it even blow your mind as a dietitian. It's not about the calories and the grams, and it's not that literal. It's about the symptoms. And in this phase of life, I guess maybe it's that we have the lack of science around perimenopause and estrogen decline. We have some, but we don't know exact scientific prescriptions at this point. I really don't think we do. Like, from your experience, have you, in perimenopause nutrition, like, do you agree it's an evolving field?
Oh, 100%. It's definitely, and especially within just the recent, you know, I would say in the past 5 years, it's really taken off, but there is still a lot of research to be done. And we have some general ideas, but we definitely don't have like a specific exact baseline of this is what all women in perimenopause and menopause need to do as for their training, performance, et cetera. And also on that point is, you know, there hasn't been a ton of research on female athletes in general, and especially on female athletes who are 35 and older, just because we are a quote hard population to study due to our hormonal fluctuations, et cetera. And as you know, Louise, there's a lot of practitioners now kind of jumping into the field, acting like they are experts in perimenopause and menopause. And I mean, one of the things that drives me crazy is like, there's even a few physicians out there promoting that perimenopause and menopause, these women need to go on a ketogenic diet in order to lose weight and control the belly fat and everything. And I mean, that couldn't be further from the truth. And maybe that's appropriate for an obese, sedentary, type 2 exactly. diabetic in a wheelchair. Yes. Sure.
That's not our podcast population. Last time we checked.
But then when we have our type A runners listen to that and go, oh my God, I need to go keto, I can't tolerate carbs, I'm like, no, please stop.
I know. That's the thing too. Like, even if we had a few great studies, which I know we have some, okay, so they're pro triathletes. Cool. Like, we're everyday women who are stressed about getting our kids to soccer and swim, and we're bloating. We don't know why. And we're, you know, got full-time work and yeah, now we want to PR a marathon, or hey, we just want to run with our friends and not feel like shit, you know, like very different populations, even if that was female specific science.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the other thing that we see all the time reverse is women who are like 3 p.m., they have energy crash, right? They're like, oh, I just want to take a nap at 3 o'clock. Well, when you start fueling right, you don't need a nap. You feel good all day long. It's not something where you just start to crash mid-afternoon. And then the women who come, they're like, I don't understand. Every evening, I just, you know, I have dinner and then I can't stop raiding the pantry. And it's like, you look at the food log and it's, well, you had zero starchy carbohydrates all day long. And your poor brain is going, feed me some fuel. And they blame themselves because they're trying to follow somebody else's guidelines that just doesn't work for the physiology.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is an adjustment phase for sure. Like, I know we work with a lot of women where they realize, like, just hearing us talk over and over again, or just they get to the point where they just feel so crappy, or they're trying so hard, yet they're still gaining weight. Anyone who's listening in that scenario, like, you can nip this in the butt. You really do have that power, but it does take restoring your hormones and metabolism a lot of times as a byproduct of the fact that you were low carb or too low calorie for too long. So luckily we have that down to a science, a breaking through wellness science, but like we really do like very quickly help women to get past that. And what I think is so incredible is like, even someone who's so dialed in like yourself, Ariel, or I've had women that come off of like an 800 calorie per physician prescribed diet, and you know, they're still running, or someone who tried to do even just like a MyFitnessPal 1200 calorie diet, or they did a low carb challenge. They felt really stuck. They started gaining a ton of weight after. It sometimes can take 2 weeks. It sometimes can take 6, and it is an adjustment phase. So what is so worth it though, is going through that adjustment phase, maybe seeing the scale go up a few pounds, you're feeling better than ever. And then you go right into a fat loss phase. We empower you with the strategies to know how to do that for the rest of your life without a diet. And you're like, oh my God. Like, I just wrapped up a session with a client today and she was just like, I freaking know what to do. Like, this is incredible. Like, she's going to continue her fat loss journey on her own. Like, I don't know. That's just such a gift, but it takes patience to get there. And I know, thank God, Ariel, you had some patience and some others. Like, you got the cycle back. You got the estrogen on on your side now.
Without the birth control pills, thank God, which I wasn't going to take anyway. And, you know, I think a good kind of analogy is, I heard this once and I loved it. It's like the difference between when you take your phone and you put it on low power mode, that's your body in a carb and calorie deficient state. Your body is shutting down all internal processes, conserving as much as possible because we are not providing the fuel that it needs. And then we are the type that are out there training hard. And then what's happening? You're actually breaking down instead of building up. You're throwing yourself into a stress response. You're increasing cortisol and you're increasing fat storage. And it's not as simple as calories in, calories out. Our body is a complex biological machine. Our metabolism is dynamic, and we can either give our metabolism that sign of abundance and, you know, thrive, or if we're constantly pulling, like we see so many women, and I think you and I can both agree, many years of our life, we lived underfueled.
Oh.
And because of the messaging, right? And I look back and I'm like, and we talked about this. I mean, we have children. That is the last thing I want my daughter doing to herself. I mean, this has got to stop. And we're done with the mom saying, oh, I've got to cut back. I've got to lose 10 pounds. Oh, I can't eat this. Oh, I can't eat that. Oh, mom's on keto. Mom's on Atkins. I mean, we have to look at the broader picture of how this is truly impacting this younger generation.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And not to mention like their life is going to be harder, so much harder because that BS social media noise is not going to stop. It's going to keep sending these messages. So, I mean, in a way, like just even like the listeners of this podcast, like all coming together and shaping the next generation and being that vibrant, healthy, well-fed woman for an example of our future generation of women. Like even when I go on stage here in a few weeks and I share like how I built my business, like by listening to women, for women, where did we get stuck? Like I'm a leading science-based practitioner, but this is built by women And it was taking, like, I literally redesigned this whole program from scratch because I realized it was shit because it was so based in the science and it was so literal and logical. It's like I had to get down off that science-based practitioner pedestal and say, like, where are we still getting stuck? Like, where are the common, you know, misconceptions, which we're talking through today, but even like the ability to just like look at the people in front of us or, you know, what does our body need when we look at from like, you're not coaching someone, but okay, what does my body need? Like give it that love. And guess what? It mm-hmm. works with us. And we absolutely can like have it all. We can have some strategies that support fat loss. It's okay to say that, you know, mommy is a little bit bigger than she wants to be. It doesn't feel good on my joints. So I'm going to make more nourishing decisions. Like that's a very mm-hmm. different discussion with our child than even for myself. Like I'm going to avoid gluten because of all of the things that are wrong in my health. And my kids know that it's because like, I want to be around. I want to be energized. I don't want to die at a young age. You know, I say that to my kids, but mm-hmm. mommy's got things that she needs to support her body in a different way. But it's mm-hmm. not because like, oh, gluten's just so terrible and I can never have a cookie. It's like, no, I'm going to have a gluten-free cookie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to address, because I just see this as a huge frequently asked question. So keeping in mind, most of the audience of our podcast is they're very active, whether you just love hiking, biking, triathlons, running, all the things. On our days off, should we be lower carb? Should we try carb cycling? And when we look at your week, I know so many women are like, but I just ran 4 miles, or I just went to the gym for a half hour and then I only jogged 2 miles. Like that's not a lot of exercise. We need to like reframe our minds around this. Like we are super women at this age. We are the ones who are still active, still going. Like, take a look around. The world is only getting more obese. Like, we really, truly are active and we need to fuel our body accordingly. So if you have 1 or 2 days off per week, your body's recovering. It's rebuilding. That is literally part of your training plan. So yes, you need carbs. So to go super low carb on an off day is incredibly counterproductive. Are you starting to see yourself slow down? Are you starting to become more injury prone? Are you feeling sluggish, brain fog, not sleeping well? Pay attention, because do not go low carb on that day when your body needs to rebuild itself. Ariel, I know you have insights into this one.
I have to add a little bit of like a specific data point or science-based fact here, because I think it'll help. Because whenever I tell clients this, they're always blown away because of all this like low carb dogma. But your brain alone uses 130 grams of carbohydrate a day, just your brain. So when I tell women that, like, we're talking about just to meet your brain's needs, we have 1/2 to 1 cup of like starchy carb at each meal. That is not including any exercise or any training. So we have to stop just thinking that our energy needs are from when we are physically active, like doing performing exercise, because our organ tissue, they utilize carbs. When we are not consuming adequate fuel, you are not just breaking down fat tissue. And if you are in a high stress state, or you're focusing on performance, you're focusing on improving body composition, providing your body with the very building blocks that carbohydrates have, the right types of carbs. And this is where Louise and I are unique, I think, in this as well, is that it's not just a carb is a carb. We're not talking about gummy bears. We're talking about the right types of carbs at the right time, that is going to provide the body with the foundation to be able to rebuild that muscle tissue, restore metabolism, restore glycogen, so that when you go into the training session the next day, you actually get the positive adaptation that you're looking for. If we are not providing the body with appropriate amounts of fuel, we are not going to get the adaptations we are after with our performance, our energy expenditure, and our body composition. We just aren't.
Yeah. And like what that shows up as, and I see this, is there's a lot of blaming. Like we think we're doing really well for a while, and then we have a day where we don't have a big enough breakfast. We underfuel unintentionally around the fitness session. And then later in the day, we're ravenous. We are driving with our kids and maybe we get something at the gas station and we intended it to get to them, but before we know, we ate the whole bag ourselves. We go home. We're like, F it. I feel like crap. I'm ravenous. Screw it. And you have whatever you want for dinner. It turns into cravings at night and it turns into this downhill spiral where, wow, I just suck. I just have all these cravings. I can't control myself. I'll never be able to run well or lose weight or look good when I run. And I'm not even talking about women that are significantly overweight. Like, this happens to all of us, but it's not you. It's literally your hormones and your female physiology and the fact that you underfueled around your fitness session. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times that we don't intentionally do that, but what we see online is like a lot of either other sports dietitians saying like, oh, like stop underfueling or, you know, stop drinking all the caffeine or, you know, like there's a whole population of us who are not intentionally doing this. Mm-hmm. And we don't understand mm-hmm. why we feel this way. It's mm-hmm. not like we intentionally were trying to starve ourselves. We just didn't know how to properly fuel. And then when we try and follow the science-based guidelines, like they're not adapted to women over 35. So then we feel really stuck. So we're like, well, I tried freaking fueling and now I'm gaining weight. Now I do feel like shit. And I guess like not eating as much or that way is the answer. And it's like, no, it just needs to be modified for where we're at in the stage of life. And general guidelines don't do that from what I see, which is so frustrating.
Yeah, I am right there with you 100% because Louise and I are not sitting here like high carb all the time, pound those bagels. Absolutely not. There is a huge difference. And, you know, I did my CSSD and those recommendations for like, you know, 6 to 10 grams of carb per kilo. I mean, that's a lot of carbohydrate. And again, for women our age, that's just not necessary. And it's not going to provide us the body composition and performance benefits that we're looking for.
Yeah. I think I saw one recommendation. It was like up to like 120 grams of carb per hour when in a race.
Oh my goodness.
And wow. It was like, well, that'll really maximize performance. And I'm like, that'll in a general population recreational runner. Maybe she wants to run her best. Maybe she's trying to Boston qualify, but she's going to get a little bit of junk in her trunk, undesirable junk in her trunk, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So we really, and again, like when you look at those guidelines, like it could be 60, it could be 80. Maybe you are not used to fueling during a run and you just need to ease the F into it. Like, because mm-hmm. your gut can't handle it. Like, that is absolutely mm-hmm. okay. As long as you're taking the small steps in the right direction and preventing that underfueling. And then there's that whole side where like you do have a fat loss or a body comp goal, but you also want to run well, or you want to keep running. So that's where we really come in and we're like, okay, let's do this in a very strategic way. So you're, you know, only dropping calories a little bit, but still supporting your body's needs. You're not damaging your hormones and your metabolism. It's like, talk about complex. Like, I get why people get it so wrong, because it's even a strategy. Like, we have to take time and reflect on it before we get in a session with you. Cause we're like, ooh, how are we going to do this?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what I love so much about our approach is we are not about mediocrity at Breaking Through Wellness. We are about, girl, whatever you want to accomplish, you want to rock a bikini this summer, you have every right to rock that bikini. Yeah. And just because diet culture has created this really negative, heavy, unnecessary restriction and really disempowering approach to achieving that, that doesn't mean achieving that has to come with those side effects. You can actually achieve a body that you are super confident in. You can throw on a bathing suit, go to the beach with your kids and feel really good without driving your system into the ground, because it is not about being restricted 90% of the time and fueling 10% of the time. We got to flip that around. And when we flip that around, that's when we really see women just thrive and achieve their goals. And they're like, this is too good to be true. I mean, why I spent so many years struggling, right? It's like when I could have it all, have my cake and eat it too, no pun intended, right?
Yeah. And there's just like so many of us that do. Like want mm-hmm. to have it all. And that's why I think like making this like a literal like running podcast, like we all can follow a training plan. Like, yes, there is mm-hmm. a strategy to designing a training plan. Yes, I'm a running coach. We can do all the running coaching things, but It is so much more at this age. It is so much more. And it's like redefining who we are and showing up. Like I posted the other day, I think on Instagram, it's like, we want to be like, it's okay if our favorite shirt doesn't fit because our back muscles look so good. It's okay if we want to get sexier as we age. Like, I don't know. There's a whole, the more I talk about it, I know there's more and more of us out here, but like, we want to run well and we love running with our, maybe you're just a recreational friend or you love running with your friends, or maybe you do still have those time goals. Like, or maybe you just want to run a 5K with your daughter and you haven't been running for years. Like, get back to that. I don't know how many like former cross country runners who have stopped running are just like, can you help me just like get back into this? And it's like, yeah, all of those levels are like the same person who desires the best for themselves. And like this vision that we have for women is taking the step back, asking the right questions, small, simple steps specific to you, your goals, what you want for you. It's like such a wonderful place to be. It does take time. Like that, I think that's just the thing too. It takes time. And regardless of where you are in your carbohydrate journey, like redefining it for this next stage of life, just know that you do need those nutrient dense complex carbs. Ariel, you want to give us a couple examples of best choices?
Oh, sure. I love, so for, you know, feeding the gut, I love resistant starches, which you create by, you know, cooking and cooling root vegetables, potatoes, sweet potatoes, even rice and pasta. I do prefer, you know, we choose the wild rice, the brown rice, and if we're doing pasta, it's the bean pastas, but really using those real complex, unrefined whole food carbohydrates. And then, you know, your fruits, your vegetables. What I would say, the carbohydrates I don't endorse or recommend are going to be any refined white flour products. And if people are going to consume them, you know, make it rare, make it less than 10% of your diet, and just understand that they aren't doing anything for your gut body composition or your gut health. Now, do I want to go out for pizza once, you know, a week with my daughter and my husband? Absolutely. Is it fine? Yeah, it's once a week, but that's not going to be a daily thing for me. So yeah, providing the body with those quality carbs is, and beans, I don't want to leave out beans. They're wonderful too, if you tolerate them. But yeah, those are, oats, of course, are great. Do you have any others? Other thoughts you want to add?
Yeah, just like, I'm like such a huge fan of potatoes. Like honestly, yes, just all the purples, the little, and like, I love the practical, like I talk with clients, like we don't actually have to like pre-bake all the sweet potatoes. Like we just poke some holes in the little baby ones, throw them in the microwave. Like it's a beautiful place to be. Yeah. I think even like a gluten-free flour for baking is so helpful for myself when I do want to like make like a homemade pizza or splurge on something, being that I really do have to keep gluten out of my diet, given autoimmune, gut health issues, all the things, thyroid issues, that's pretty beneficial in terms of gluten-free. Yeah. But I think that just reintroducing them back into your diet, if you have not been consuming them, understand with every gram of carb that we store water. And so you're going to maybe put on a little bit of weight. It's not a bad thing. Clothes will fit better. Ultimately, you'll support your hormones and your metabolism. There is a strategic way to do it if you need help. So we obviously specialize in that. We can check out breakingthroughwellness.com. But yeah, I think just really taking a step back to redefine your relationship with carbs. And the other thing that I was going to end it, but I actually think there's two things to talk about real quick. And I know, Ariel, you have such great insights on this. We have some trendy things happening right now with glucose monitors and the Lumen. So I know when I was first approached with this Lumen idea, I was just like, for me, I was just like, no, I can't even like entertain this right now, because I just know going by how my body feels and my different symptoms, like that's what our strategies are designed around. So I was just like, I'm just going to stay away from it. Like, I appreciate if someone wants to use that, but in terms of even trying it myself, I wasn't even tempted. I want to practice what I preach. I want to stick with our strategies, feel my best. But I know, Ariel, that you had tried that. So sharing some insights on that.
Yeah, I'd love to. I bought a Lumen when it first came out and it got really popular. And it was interesting to follow the protocol. So they actually give you, your carb target, your fat target, you blow into it. So what the lumen is, it's actually measuring your resting carbohydrate versus fat oxidation, or RQ, respiratory quotient, as we refer to in physiology and science. So it's telling us, what percent carb or what percent fat are you burning at rest? And the company has theories around, how much carb and fat we should be deriving from energy while we're at rest. And then they manipulate what they provide you nutrition-wise, macro-wise, to manipulate your physiology to produce this outcome of being in a quote fat burning mode. And so I'm like, oh, okay, let's give this a shot. I'm always one to like, this is when I was really into the data. And I followed exactly what they told me to follow, and I just kept seeing my number creeping up. And I'm like, what is going on here? I'm following the 50 gram of carb recommendation. I'm pounding the fat. I'm not feeling great. My sleep isn't, as restful. I'm just noticing some of these negative physiological responses, but ignoring them. And it was really interesting because I don't know if they still do, but they did have a Facebook group back then. And the women on there would be like, I've been fasting, I've been low carb, and I can't blow anything under a four. And the more I kind of dove into the research and really reflecting back on the work Stacey Sims has done now, really showing and elucidating that when we pull carbohydrates as women, especially around training, we are not increasing fat burning. We are increasing cortisol, and we're decreasing hormone production because what happens is when we're not providing the body that glucose, the body steals from progesterone. It steals from creating these hormones to produce the start to produce cortisol. And so we actually end up in this more sugar burning state. Now, are some women, maybe this works for, I'm never going to say that I know all women's physiology are going to work exactly like mine or exactly like what we've experienced. But for the majority, it definitely has some negative consequences. And so it was really interesting because, well, just from a like under about 130 grams of carbohydrate a day, your body does go into something called physiological insulin resistance. So you do become more sensitive to any amount of carbohydrate. So you're actually decreasing your carbohydrate sensitivity. And so when you provide carbs, you get a higher blood glucose response and you don't use them as efficiently. And so that alone, because the carb count is typically below that, is going to create that state in the body, that metabolic state. And what's so interesting is when I was playing around with this device, I would not be able to get to fat burn. And it was just, it was really challenging. And I didn't know what was going on. And then since we've been working together, I still have the thing. And I'm like, oh, what the hell? Let's test this out and see where I am. It was like one lunch. I'm like, what did I have? So I guesstimated I had 68 grams of carbs or something. It was a lunch after I did a morning run. And I had already had, I think, 150 grams of carbs that day. Now I'm just giving people this kind of reference point to say, how much your body can really burn through. And 2 hours after lunch, I had a blood sugar of 85 and a lumen level of 2. And I'm like, wow. So, do I want to train my body and my metabolism to be as efficient as possible and store and slow down? Or do I want to train my metabolism and my body to be as inefficient as possible and be able to burn through as much energy to provide all these wonderful metabolic effects of, improving performance, body composition, power output, et cetera. And so I think this is where, people are all down this rabbit hole of metabolic flexibility. But here's the thing. We are women. We are already metabolically flexible. We are active and we are moving and we are running and we are training. We are naturally deriving more energy from fat at rest if we are healthy metabolically. And then when we put the carbs strategically in the diet where they are meant to really optimize our performance and our health, we get the best of both worlds. And then we can go out and we can enjoy pizza with our kids on Friday night. And, that just goes down a whole nother avenue of how damaging all of these extreme approaches are on our children, and how, what are we really modeling for them? What do we want to model for them?
That's a, I think that's actually a good question to ask is like, what do we really want for ourselves in this like next phase of life when we really think about our 40s and 50s and beyond? Because it's really about that long road too. and the little generation that we're raising. So yeah. And even the, with what I've seen with the glucose monitors is it's information on your body, but we're still not having that foundational understanding of how to balance your blood sugar in the first place, or the most hormone and health and gut friendly carb choices, understanding how our female body works in the first place. That data point is not very relevant to helping you if you don't have that foundational knowledge first and foremost. So that's where we really take that step back, and through this podcast, through our program, those exact steps so that you can start to apply them to yourself and really get to know your body and not stay inside any sort of a box of any sort of data-driven device.
Yes. I love like that, the line I had to come to my head when I saw something on biohacking, which sometimes just like drives me crazy, this whole biohacking trend. And it's like, you know what your ultimate biohack is? It's listening to your biofeedback. It's not out there in some, you know, couple hundred dollar device or some podcast who's always talking about how he has this new product he's going to sell you because he's a biohacker and it's cutting edge. And it's like, we're not even tuning into how we feel. I mean, that's what's so crazy.
Yeah.
And when we do, and we become in really this democracy with our body in this relationship, and we learn to listen to it, that is so empowering. And then we can manipulate the variables based on how our body responds. And then we can be confident and intentional about what we're doing with our nutrition. And also, like you said earlier, Louise, is like, there is no timeline. Why do we have a timeline on this? We have the rest of our life to continue to optimize and listen to our biofeedback and really play around with things and understand that our body may fluctuate just like the seasons, but that's the beauty of it. And it's not about trying to control it, but it's really about working with it.
Yeah, like this knowledge to work with it and not against it. And, you know, I even tell the women in our program, like, I extended it from 4 months to 6, and now we have like a ridiculously low monthly renewal, and you stay in touch with like our monthly Q&As, our community, all the resources as we update them, because we're going to continue to update them based on female specific science, which is emerging, and then coaching every day with real women and determining what works best. But then this is a journey of like learning how to work with our body. And even like Ariel and I, like, we are always learning something new about our own body, or applied this strategy, effed it up, now I know what to do next time. Like, you know, just, it's so nice when you're in a community of women doing the same thing, because not only do you learn from yourself, but then when you see their application, it was like, oh my gosh, that was so helpful, because then I understood why I got the headache too. Or yeah, now I understand why I woke up hungry too. And it's just like, our body's talking to us. And when we listen, as corny as that kind of sounds, like, it is so freaking amazing and refreshing. And you don't need all the bells and whistles, as much as they're helpful sometimes. The more and more I get away from that stuff, the more I don't know, I feel like so empowered and calm. And I think that's just sort of the vision that we have at Breaking Through Wellness as coaches, is coming together as experts and really like lifting one another up, lifting up our community, the women we coach, ditching this diet culture, all this terrible messaging that we've had around our body for years. And in this season of life too, it's like, we're mature women. Like, we just want so much more. We want to get rid of the way social media makes us feel. We want to really understand our female body, because we know growing up, like, we did not live in a world that had the knowledge to even know how to help us. When we go to healthcare providers, most of the time, we're not getting answers. We're like, here's some pills, or welcome to the club. This is just aging. Like, that's the worst.
Just accept it. Just accept it.
It's the worst.
Spare tire around the middle. It's normal once you get into your 40s and 50s. No, it is not. And it is not something you have to accept. I'm sorry. It's just so frustrating, but anyway.
Yeah. And I know, Ariel, you were going to share a little bit about your vision too, just like moving forward.
Yeah. So moving forward, I reflect back and I think about the amount of years that I struggled with really trusting myself and tuning into my body and going through all the things and all the experiments, and how I really didn't didn't know where to turn. And I don't think there was really anywhere to turn in regards to looking for assistance with that. And I think, you know, we hear about low energy availability or red S or underfueling or overtraining. And we typically hear about it with like professional athletes, but people don't realize that, you know, about 80% of women are in some form of low energy availability on a chronic state. And that is causing the very things that they are struggling with. And that was causing even my struggle as an educated, you know, practitioner who was always up on the latest science. Sometimes that can also kind of keep you stuck, because I know for myself, I would just be constantly consuming all this information and then, you know, trying things out on myself. And that's why I speak so much to this whole listen, stop looking, start listening, which is what we help women do and getting back to basics. Because if I had done that, if I had truly honored listening to my body, I would not have struggled like I did. And I wouldn't have spun my wheels for so many years, and I wouldn't have questioned myself. And now I just feel, I feel so happy, passionate, and empowered. And I feel like it's been a really windy road with my business as far as since I've gone into private practice, kind of going in different directions and feeling out different ways of working with other practitioners and other people. And there was just always something that wasn't quite clicking. It wasn't, we weren't quite on the same page. And then working with you, it was like kindred spirit. I mean, honestly, you and Amy are just incredible. And we are all, I feel like, so aligned in every aspect. And we are so unique in that too. And I also want to emphasize something, Louise, because I have done a few other programs with other practitioners who claim to be female hormone experts, et cetera, because I had, you know, after I had that diagnosis, I had joined this one program and she's a chiropractor and claims, oh, I know how to help women heal their hormones. And it was a very expensive program. It was like 40% more expensive than yours. And it was terrible. In fact, I actually emailed them to try to get my money back. It hadn't even started and they still wouldn't refund my money because I had reviewed the materials. And I was like, this is not, I know even just from my education, this isn't going to him. Like, what is she talking about? But unfortunately, a lot of people don't have that foundation. And so they're out there spending a lot of money on these fitfluencers or these people, practitioners who just because they have an MD or they're a chiropractor or they're a PhD, that does not mean that they are experts on your female physiology. And so just be really careful about that. And if you truly want to stop spinning your wheels, then the Breaking Through Wellness program is the best program that you could possibly step into if you really want to release the struggle and create a whole new relationship with your body and yourself and come into this just incredible group of women who are all on the same path to wellness.
Yeah. Aw, so beautiful. Obviously when I started it, I had the vision, but, and I always say like, I never even thought that I would hire, and my husband was like morally opposed. And so like I started working with Amy because we just like that same thing. We just clicked and she got it, and she didn't want to feel like crap, and she helped women not be like crap. And this whole idea of like, you can age beautifully, powerfully, fit well, stay active for life if you do the right things. And I remember I just kept talking more and more about Amy. And then my husband was like, I was like, oh, you know, my co-coach, Amy. It was like months, like a few, maybe like 2 months after we were working together. And he's like, what do you mean your co-coach? I'm like, oh yeah, she like works with me. And he's like, as in like your business? And I was like, yeah, it's going great. He's like, okay. Then I started talking about you. He's like, I hope these ladies don't steal all your stuff and run. I'm like, even if they do, they'll be able to help women. Like, I don't care at this point. I hate everything that's out there. Like, this needs to stop. No, like there's,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. So we encourage you today to take a step back. Think about redefining your relationship with carbs. Apply the information you learned today. You know, we didn't give a lot of specific action steps, but, you know, having carbohydrates with every meal, going with those more nutrient, gut, and dense, you know, very good, nutritious carbs. Don't stay super low carb on your off days. Yes, it's going to take some time as your body adjusts, but you are going to feel so good And if you need the extra support and the extra strategies, we encourage you to check out breakingthroughwellness.com, book a free consult with us. The program is growing rapidly. We are just, you know, but three practitioners, but we welcome you. You can join at any time as long as space is available. So with that, ladies, send us some love, give us a review, share this podcast with a friend who needs to hear it, and welcome to our community. And Ariel is going to add so much value to this podcast. Next week, tune in. We're going to be talking about rising above fit shaming, because this is just a hot topic and it's very near and dear to our hearts. We have all struggled with weight, but as women who are now, you know, pretty fit and active, there is some stigma that we want to break through. So stay tuned for that. It's probably going to be a little spicy of an episode if I have to predict, but...
just to put it mildly.
Yes. And then we also want to talk more about like relative energy deficiency and the slow energy availability, because that is a very important topic to have a dedicated podcast episode as well. So stay tuned. Lots to come in the next few weeks. And we are wishing you a vibrant, healthy, and high performance journey ahead. Take care, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Maximizing Fitness, Fat Loss, and Running Through Perimenopause. We hope you found it refreshingly simple, straightforward, and actionable. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review. Your feedback means the world to us and helps others discover our podcast. And don't miss out. Hop on over to breakingthroughwellness.com to subscribe to my newsletter. Stay up to date on upcoming episodes, free resources, my live educational events, our community of incredibly strong women, and Badass Breakthrough Academy, the one-on-one coaching program and learning experience for women ready to unlock their best with less stress. Thank you again for being part of our podcast community. Until next time, keep it simple, low stress, and specific to you. And of course, your friendly medical disclaimer. No information on this podcast or provided through any of our services should be used to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any disease or condition. Please always seek the advice of a trusted medical professional, such as your doctor, as needed. We are collaborative here at Breaking Through Wellness as an active member of your team when we work in one-on-one coaching services only. With that, we are wishing you a vibrant, healthy, and high performance day, finding all the information you need to unlock your best with less stress.